This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. I've got another 60 minutes of old-time radio for you this week. We begin with Tales of the Texas Rangers. We'll hear Dead or Alive, their story from September 9th, 1950. After that, it's the Zero Hour, and it's July 12th, 1974 episode titled The Grand Prize.
Presenting Joel McRae as Jace Pearson in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, authentic stories from their official files. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Tonight's transcribed case, Dead or Alive.
At exactly 9:13 a.m. on Wednesday, April 16th, 1947, the French freighter Grand Camp, carrying a highly explosive cargo of ammonium nitrate fertilizer, blew up in the harbor at Texas City, Texas. It was the first in a chain of explosions as chemical plants, tin smelters, and oil refineries disappeared in blasts and flame. Shortly after 1 a.m. the next morning, the major chain reaction was set off. The explosions rocking the city of Galveston, 10 miles across the bay, where excited crowds gathered in the streets watching the raging, flame-pierced sky.
X-ray, X-ray, Texas City death toll, 300, hundreds more missed and scores of bodies unidentified. Paper, mister?
Yeah, give me one. Here.
Read about it, unidentified dead toll, still
mounted. Where are the names, Vance? Where's the list of the dead?
Well, they only got a few of them identified.
Well, is Ralph's name there?
Wait a minute. No, he's probably all right. Oh. A working square like him would be.
But he worked at one of the refineries they're burning.
Stop blubbering. You want to attract attention to me?
No. No, Vance, no. But he is my brother. I got to worry about him, too, don't I?
Yeah. Come on. Over here, into this doorway. Look at that blaze over there across the bay. What a spot to clean up. Money, jewelry must be laying around the streets. Just
Vance,
wait.
Vance, you're crazy. There'll be police there, Rangers. You're in enough trouble now.
Yeah. Yeah, Lil, you're right. But I'm getting out of it now, for good. And that place over there is going to do it. Maybe your brother Ralph is one of the dead they haven't identified.
Vance.
You got to go there, baby. If he is, you'll have to identify him.
Oh.
If he is there, in with the ones they don't know. There's nothing you can do to help him. But you can help me.
Vance, what do you mean?
Well, if you find him there, baby, you can identify the body and say it's mine.
Vance.
You want me in the clear, don't you, baby? They won't be chasing after me if they think I'm dead, don't you see?
But my own brother. What are you asking me to do?
I'm asking you to do as you're told. If you want to walk out of me, go ahead. But if you don't, you're going to want me to keep on running for the rest of my life? Or let them get me and send me to Huntsville for 10 to 20?
Oh, I don't want anything to happen to you, Vance. You know that.
Well, then show me, baby. Show me. You can't help Ralph. He's over there, but you can't help me, don't you see? I'll get out of here tonight. And I'll let you know when to meet me. Maybe at that resort place we passed near Lake Bluewater. We'll be free, baby. You and me. Free from there on.
But how? What'll we do for money?
That'll be taken care of, too. There's a safe in Lansdowne. I've been itching to get at it for a long time. One last box job, baby, and enough to see us through. Now go ahead, right now. And remember, if you find your brother, he ain't Ralph Brenner. He's me, Vance Young. And come back, pack up, and stay put till you hear from me. From then on, it's gravy. Nobody ever arrests a dead man.
Bye.
By Friday morning, April 18th, more than 200 bodies, many still unidentified, were laid out in the Texas City High School gymnasium. Texas Rangers, including Ranger Jace Pearson, were on hand to help distraught relatives make identification.
You're sure your husband isn't in any of the other places where bodies are being
held? No. No, Ranger.
He may be all right. Lots of men have been so busy helping others, he may be one of those.
Oh, if only he isn't here.
Let's hope he isn't. The embalmers are still working on more bodies over at McGar's garage. It's the only place handy. Keep your hopes up, but don't hope too much for a while.
I'll be all right.
Might as well start looking through this next row now. They're pretty bad cases. Recognize anything on this one?
No.
This?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, ma'am. Are you sure?
That ring on his finger. I gave it to him a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. It isn't easy, but try and get a grip.
I'm all right, Ranger.
You better give me the name for the tag.
His name is... Vance. My husband, Vance Young.
Vance Young. The name burned in my mind like a branding iron. There was no time to ask her, and yet I had to ask. It was part of my job. I waited until we got out into the street. There's some information I have to get from you, Mrs. Young, about your husband.
All right.
Did he have a criminal record?
Yes.
Did you know we were looking for him? For a string of safecracking?
Oh, does that matter now? He's dead, isn't he?
Yes, I'm sorry, Mrs. Young. You'll find some men at the desk in that building across the way. They'll help you with funeral arrangements.
All right. Thank you very much. All right.
Vance Young.
Jace! Hey, Jace!
Huh? Oh, hello, Kurtz.
Captain Simpson wants us.
Where is he?
The mobile unit.
Let's go.
I'll be glad when this assignment is over. I hope we never see another one like it.
Yeah, I've helped with 5 identifications today. You stand there with somebody and see their life fall apart because of a freak accident.
Woman who just left you, she finds somebody?
Yeah, her husband. Kurtz, it was Vance Young.
Vance Young? The knob knocker?
Yeah. Looks like the explosion ended his case for our files.
Don't you think we better check the body for prints and marks?
No, he got it too badly. She identified him by a ring.
Unidentified bodies give a knob knocker like Young a big chance to disappear.
I thought of that, too. Except for one thing. That woman's grief was real. She wasn't faking it. Fires in Texas City were controlled and stopped, and men with tight lips and grim courage started to rebuild the ruins. Most of us Rangers went back to regular duty in our regular areas. Then one day, while Bud Kurtz and I had just finished a routine job and were driving back to headquarters, a call came through via short wave.
KTXA to Unit 10. KTXA to Unit 10.
Unit 10 to KTXA. Go ahead, KTXA.
Unit 10, proceed immediately to Landstone, Texas, Arthur County. Safe of mercantile store burglarized there at 4 a.m. today. Crime reported by owner when store opened at 9:30 a.m. this date.
Any lead on responsible subject?
Subject unidentified but known to be one man working alone, according to information given by watchman. Watchman was overpowered, being treated Landstone Emergency Hospital.
Units 10 and 6 proceeding to Landstone. Keep KTXA informed. Unit 10, 10-4.
Assignment authority, Captain Stinson. KTXA, Austin.
Landstone, about 40 miles, Jace.
Yeah.
Knob-knocking job, huh?
Yeah. At least, though, there's one safe specialist we can eliminate right from scratch on this one.
Who?
Vance Young.
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot about him. Dead men don't rob safes, do they?
We
reached the Landstone Mercantile Store at 11:15, and Sheriff Joe Pastrone showed us through.
These back rooms are used for storage. He came in through the back, went through that door over there to the general office. That's where the safe is.
How'd he get into the building?
Forced the watchman to let him in. Watchman patrols this whole area, door shaker. He has keys to get into all the stores if he sees anything that looks funny.
Well, then he must have met the safecracker outside.
Yeah, I guess so. Watchman was pretty dazed this morning. The doc is patching him up at the hospital. Deputy will drive him back here as soon as his head's fixed. Now, as you can see, been over everything for fingerprints.
You find any?
Sure, hundreds. They probably all belong to employees of the store.
Best bet is to check the prints on the safe first.
Already did that. Only two sets. Owner of the store and the bookkeeper.
Well, that won't tell us anything, Jace, unless one of them robbed the store.
That isn't likely. Better have a look at the safe now, Sheriff.
Sure thing. Our last office back here.
What make is the safe, Sheriff?
It's a Will's Atlas, new model.
That's a tough box, Jace. Steel and wrought iron plates and more alarm wires than the marionette show.
Yeah, but a good safecracker could divert the alarm circuit without tripping it. And the box is a cinch because he's got the wire holes to start working on.
Here we are.
You figured it, Jace. Back plate blown clean out.
Yeah, didn't even have to drill. Small nitro charges in the wire holes, and it was as good as having the combination.
Here's where he jumped the alarm circuit. Neat hookup, all right.
You take the pictures of all this, Sheriff?
Yeah, I can pick up a set of my office if you like.
Thanks.
Oh, Winky.
Howdy, Sheriff. Rangers.
I've been waiting for you. This is a watchman. How's your head?
Well, Ashman ain't gonna help it any, I'll tell you that. You gonna get the fella?
We'll be able to answer that better when the fingerprints are checked.
Fingerprints? He ain't gonna find any he left. He's wearing gloves.
I figure, Jace. Yeah. Tell me, Winky, would you recognize the man if you saw him again? Could you pick out his picture?
Yeah. If you ever had his picture took with a sack over his head, I could. That ain't likely.
You mean his face was covered?
Had a sack over his head, like I told you. Holes for the eyes. He ain't gonna catch him by no fingerprints or pictures. Maybe you ain't gonna catch him at all.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Winky. Sheriff, would you mind going down to your office for prints of the pictures of the scene here? I'd like them sent on to my headquarters for an MO check.
Sure. Take care of it right away.
What kind of check is an MO check, Ranger?
It means modus operandi, Winky. All criminals have definite methods and habits. They're repeated on each job they do. Forms a pattern.
Well, there's sure a pattern here, all right, Jace. Method of entry, where that circuit was jumped, sack mask, nitro charge, and the wire holes.
Yeah. And it fits three men. Three safecrackers we've followed before.
Yeah, there's Bert Larkin. He's still doing time in Folsom for a job he pulled on the coast.
Yeah. And the other two are Jack Fontaine and Vance Young.
Yeah, but Young is dead. That leaves us Fontaine.
You mean you know who did it? Well, without nothing to tell you?
There's plenty to tell us. A modus operandi can be almost as good as a fingerprint or a signature.
I'll be winged. Maybe that fellow's going to pay off for slugging me after all. And for hurting my arm when he grabbed me in the alley there.
How'd he grab you? Show me. Go ahead, show me.
On you? Well, let's see. He whipped my arm up behind me like this. Then he jabbed a thumb up behind my ear like this. Sure hurts, don't it?
Sure does. Well, you can let go now.
Judo still fits Fontaine, Jace.
Yeah. Or Vance Young. He used it, too, on other jobs. When did he slug you?
After he made me open up the back door and let him in.
You mean he sneaked up on you before he could draw your gun?
Sneaked nothing. That's why I didn't get onto him at first. Heard him come walking through the alley toward me like he's taking a shortcut.
You heard him?
Yeah, it was dark. Says I didn't see the mask until I lit a match. He asked for a light, see? Then he grabbed me. And he got me inside here and beat on me and kicked me.
Jace, that doesn't sound like Fontaine.
It wasn't Fontaine. He always sneaked a watchman from behind, and they never heard him. He always wore sneakers.
Well, then who?
Vance Young. That match trick is Vance Young's.
But Young is dead.
Maybe yes, maybe no. But I know one thing. I'm going to find out.
You are listening to Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. And now, we continue with tonight's case, Dead or Alive, an authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
I headed for Texas City and Galveston. Kurtz and I had no way to move until we knew for certain whether Vance Young was dead or alive. As we drove, I put through a request for headquarters to dig up some information. We were still on the road when KTXA came up with the answers.
KTXA to Unit 10. KTXA to Unit 10.
Unit 10 to KTXA. Go ahead, KTXA.
Have information you requested. Woman who identified body of Vance Young in Texas City gave name as Lillian Young, residing at 410 Harbor Lane, Galveston.
Deceased was wearing ring used in identification. Has subject Lillian Young claimed ring?
No claim has been filed yet. Ring still being held at property claims in Texas City.
Unit 10 also requested check on place where body identified as Vance Young was originally found.
Body was among those recovered from debris of Amalgamated Refinery Plant 7.
Unit 10 believes identification may have been falsified. Possibility Vance Young still alive. Units 10 and 6 continuing investigation. Maybe tied in with robbery in Landstone, Texas.
Proceed. Keep KTXA informed. Authority, Captain Stinson.
Unit 10, 10-4.
KTXA, Austin.
You get that address, Kurtz?
Yeah. 410 Harbor Lane, Galveston.
If we're right, she may have cleared out by now, but we've got to try it.
What do you want me to do?
I'll drop you at Texas City. Get that ring and check every living person who worked at Amalgamated. See if any of them remember that ring and the man who wore it.
Right.
I better call KTXA again and have that marriage record traced. Find out when and where that woman married Young, what her maiden name was, everything we can get.
We'll be in Texas City in a couple of minutes. I can start the check from there and bring the information to you where we meet.
A Harbor Lane address in Galveston. I found the rooming house Lillian and Vance Young had lived in, but I was too late. Lillian Young had checked out the day before. The landlord showed me the room.
They lived here. 5-6 months, all told.
You get to know the husband very well?
I tell you the truth, Ranger. I hardly ever saw him. Only time he ever left the place was at night. His wife said his eyes got hurt in the war or something. His sunlight bothered him.
When did you see him last? When they moved out?
No. He wasn't with her then. Last I saw him was, he went out about a week ago. Night of the big blast over at Texas City. Cracked the wall plaster here.
Are you sure you didn't see him after that?
Oh, I'm positive. I don't think he ever did come back. Didn't even hear no talking from the room. Just her. Crying an awful lot.
I see. She decided to leave kind of sudden?
Oh, like a jackrabbit hearing a hound dog. Left for work yesterday morning, came steaming back about an hour later. Give me the keys, pack up, and left.
Came back from work. You know where she worked?
Yeah, I do. She was a waitress. The Bayshore Diner.
Bayshore Diner. Thanks.
So she up and quit on it just like that yesterday morning. Right smack in the middle of the breakfast rush, too. Because the postman come in and give her a special delivered letter.
Who was it from?
Who was it from? With 20 orders of ham and in the fire, I got time to read a mail? All I know is she leaves me the serving, the dishes, and the cleaning and everything.
Oh, stop beefing, Chuck. That little old gal had trouble.
Yeah, you should talk. All you've got to do is drive one cab. You don't have the serving and the dishes and the cleaning and everything.
Why don't you find yourself a little old chaplain to hear your troubles and give me some coffee? Come on.
Okay. Maybe you can tell the ranger more about Lil than I can. Hanging around her and making eyes at her all day. You took her out when she left here.
Is that right, driver? Did she leave here with you?
Well, she hired my cab, if that's what you mean.
Where'd you take her?
Well, I took her home. Waited while she packed some things, then rushed her to the bus depot. She said somebody in her family was sick and she had to go help them right away. I guess that's what the letter was about. I was sitting there having my breakfast like I always do, and I...
I understand. But what about the bus depot? You know what bus she caught?
The northbound toward San Antonio. Cut it mighty fine, too. Got there just about a minute before the bus pulled out. Would have made it a lot easier if she didn't make me come dashing back about a mile after we left here.
Back here to the diner?
No, back to the laundry down the street. Guess she had some stuff in there. Although, she didn't bring a bundle out with her. And then on top of that, she says she can't pay me. Not that I'd mind, except for the 10 extra blocks back to the laundry. I could have put the flag back up as she told me beforehand.
You say the laundry's right down the street?
Yeah, about half a block.
Thanks. I'll walk down.
Hey, Jake!
Hi, Kurtz.
Fellow at the rooming house told me you came down here.
Yeah, find out anything on that ring?
Plenty. A couple of men who worked at Amalgamated recognized it. Belonged to a plant man named Ralph Brenner.
Then it wasn't Young's.
No. And I got that rundown on Young's wife. Her maiden name was Lillian Brenner. The guy she identified was her brother, not her husband.
Then that's why she was broken up. I knew that part wasn't an act. Come on.
Where are we going?
We're going into the laundry business.
Yeah, she was real upset because the things wasn't ready, but you know how it was, Ranger. We was almost 10 days behind because of Texas City. They was even using our delivery trucks for emergency over there. Some of our men left the job to help out.
Yeah, sure, but what did she leave here? Waitress uniforms?
Oh, lands, no. Diner up there has a regular uniform service. All she ever left here was men's shirts.
Probably Vance's shirts, Jace.
Yeah.
Real good shirts, too, Ranger. Kind you don't have to starch at all. And real fancy colors, too. Dude wouldn't want to be found dead in some of them.
Did she say she'd be back to pick them up?
Oh, no. She asked me to send them to her, COD. Said she needed the money she had on her for traveling. Shirts like that, you'd think her and her man was living off the top of the hog, but...
Sure. But did she give you an address?
Oh, yeah. I got it right here in this book. Right here. She wrote it down herself.
General Delivery, Lake Bluewater.
The shirts are ready now. I'm going to mail them out tonight when I leave.
We'll save you the trouble. Wrap them up, and we'll deliver them for you. Kurtz and I headed for Lake Bluewater, towing our horses in the trailer, ready to follow Vance Young no matter which way he moved. It was dark as we drove into the town. The clock on the courthouse was just striking 9.
Not many people on the streets, Jace. Looks like everything's closed up for the night except for the movie and the drugstore. Better find a place and turn in.
Yeah, I think we ought to drive out of town, camp someplace off the lakeshore, walk the horses out for a while.
I thought we were going to plant that laundry bundle at the post office in the morning, watch for a pickup.
We are.
Well, why not pasture the horses at the edge of town, find accommodations right here?
If we stay in town overnight, it may start some talk drifts. We don't want to tip our hand.
I guess you're right.
Well, let's get out to the lake and find a campsite.
Funny thing about Young's wife remembering his shirts. Guess it's force of habit for a woman.
Strong thing, habit. His safe-cracking habits told us he was still alive. And now maybe her habits are going to make him wish he was dead again. We took the road for the lake, past the summer cottages skirting the shore on one side of it. Then as we rounded a curve and passed a house and a group of resort cabins, I spotted something.
Hey, Jace, what's the matter?
I saw something. Wait till I back up. Headlights picked it up as we came around this curve. There. Look at those.
All I see is the back of a few cabins, some wash on a line.
Look at those two shirts on the end of the line.
Look like a couple of rainbows, even in this light. Hey.
That's the kind of color scheme Vance Young goes in for. Shirts we have in the laundry bundle are just like those.
Lights on in a few of the cabins.
Yeah, I'm going to leave the car here while we have a look at those shirts. Horse trail will make too much of a racket if we drive in.
Yeah, no chance of being taken for tourists with that on the back. Better cut the motor and douse the headlights.
Yeah. What was the laundry mark on those shirts we've got?
410 mark. That was the number of their house in Galveston.
Come on. Let's see if we can find it on that line. And close the car doors easy.
Right.
Take one of them down so we can get a better look at it.
What's the matter?
Clothespin stuck. There, I got it now.
Pull it low to the ground. I'll cut my hand over the flashlight.
Good. There it is. 410. These belong to our boy, all right.
Quite a few cabins, Jace.
He's in one of them. That's all we have to know. Come on. Start the for this end cabin and go right on down the line.
We better be ready for anything.
Here's the first stop.
Dark, Jase.
Yeah, you have to feel your way around.
Doesn't seem to be anybody living here.
No, this one's empty. Now, let's move
on. All right, you.
What? Hey, put that flash out before I fire.
No. Oh, Rangers, I'll put it out.
That's better. Who are you?
Name's Ed Bullock. I own these cabins. Just walking back from the boat dock with a couple of guests. Saw you sneaking in the dark. You looking for a place to stay?
No. We're looking for a couple named Young.
Oh, well, that's funny. It was Mr. Young who spotted your shadows. Hey, Mr. Young.
Was that Young just with you?
Yeah. Him and his wife was right behind me when I flashed light in here.
They spotted us, Jase?
Yeah. Come on.
Hey, into my boat. Somebody started my boat.
Is that the only boat you got down there?
Only one with a motor. There's a canoe.
We're not going to reach them, Jase.
They'll head across the lake. How far is it, Bullock?
A mile and a half.
Kurtz, grab your horse from the trailer. You can beat them around to the far side if you ride hard. When you get there, flash your light. That'll keep them from trying the shore over there.
Right. What about you?
I'm taking the canoe.
And hurry.
We'll get them.
Ranger, I better go up back to the office. My wife...
You can faint later, Mr. Bullock. Right now, I need you.
Yeah, boy.
I'm going out in the canoe. Flash your light from this shore. They'll think I'm here and they won't dare land on either side. But make sure you don't turn the light on me in this canoe.
All right, Bullock.
Turn your light on as soon as I get out in the open water. I paddled the canoe toward the center of the lake. Kurtz beat the Youngs around to the opposite shore, and I could still hear their motor when I saw the beam of Kurtz's light. The Youngs saw it, too. The beam wasn't strong enough to reach them. I heard the boat in a turn, and the motor came back toward me for a moment. And it went dead on the dark water.
What'd you stop the motor for, Ben?
Shut up. They're waiting for us on each shore. But their lights don't reach us.
Thanks, we gotta get out of
will
here.
Will you shut up and let me think? There's a little wind, the boat will drift to the far end of the lake.
But that's so slow.
Well, what do you want me to do? I can't swim like you can.
Why can't you use the oar?
Because the oar lock squeaks, stupid. They'd hear them. Yeah, there's only two of them. They can't cover the whole shore.
Gee, Vance, it's so dark. And Hey, I hear something.
What?
Something in the water.
You're crazy. Can't you see the lights on the shore?
Well, Vance, I do hear something. I see it. It's a canoe.
What?
Don't move, Young. I'm coming into your boat.
What, you? I'll drain you with this oar.
Look out!
Help! Help!
Let go of me. Let go!
Oh. Hey, have you got him? He can't swim.
Where he's going, it won't matter. Grab on the canoe and kick for shore. I got a nice dry shirt waiting for him.
Convicted of robbing a safe in the mercantile store, Vance Young, on the basis of his previous record, was sentenced to life imprisonment at Huntsville.
This is Joel McCrae. Many of our listeners, particularly in Texas, recall these cases we've been dramatizing, and some listeners have sent in questions about the Rangers. Yes, it's true. There are only 50 Texas Rangers. And to show you how busy these Rangers are, from 1946 to 1948, the Rangers handled nearly 17,000 cases. With Texas as big as it is, that means they cover about four times greater area per man than any other police officer in the world. Next week, we'll have another authentic story I believe you'll enjoy very much. Like the others, it's based on their official files, adding further glory to the Rangers. Hope you'll be listening. Good night.
Next week, Joel McCrae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McCrae is currently seen starring in the MGM production Stars in My Crown. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Your Saturday hour of fun begins in 4 weeks. You'll hear Judy Canova and this young man.
Hello, everybody. This is Dennis Day. On October 7th, I'll be starting a new season on the air. It'll be fun for all, lots of music and laughs. So join us for our opening show, October 7th, over your favorite NBC station.
Yes, beginning October 7th, hear Dennis Day, then Judy Canova in an hour of fun on NBC. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Sue Dornan's bizarre quiz program, Aftermath. The grand prize. Starring Monty Martin. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company and Lazy Boy Recliners. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
Hi, I'm Jim Backus with news about an exciting sale taking place at your Lazy Boy dealers today. You may now put a famous Lazy Boy reclining chair into your living room at unbelievable savings. The ultimate in beauty and comfort can be yours in the style of your choice to match your favorite decor. Don't just sit, relax and recline sumptuously in a Lazy Boy. Your choice of quality colors and fabrics. See your Lazy Boy dealer today. Do that. Hey, hurry up. He's waiting. Yes, he is. Hi, this is Jim Backus with news about why Lazy Boy is America's comfort favorite. It appeals to men because of rugged construction and he-man comfort. Women love it because there are beautiful styles that match any decor. And there's an amazing choice of hundreds of colors and fabrics. A Lazy Boy lets you recline to any position, even full bed. Put a Lazy Boy in your living room and into your life. See your Lazy Boy dealer today. He's waiting. Run down there. Go. Yes, indeed.
One seldom gets something for nothing. A possible exception is the quiz show contestant. For the price of an answer, one can win money and gifts. Today, the story of a winner. Karen Harkness, a young woman with more right answers than anyone suspects, is on her way to collect the grand prize.
And now, let's bring back today's big winner, Miss Karen Harkness of Stratford, Connecticut. Okay, Karen, do you know how this part of the show goes?
Yes, Lee, I do.
All right, then, light up the puzzle. Karen, would you select an envelope, please? Thank you. Ah, your number is 54 down. That's 17 letters with only 5 filled in so far. Ray Sorensen, would you tell us what Karen will win if she can fill in the blanks?
Lee, if Karen can do it, she'll look like a queen because the prize is this. A cultured pearl necklace courtesy of Vincent LeDuc, famous the world over for exquisite jewelry. And that's not all. What is a queen without a king? A weekend of royalty is yours to win. An all-expenses-paid weekend at glamorous Lake Tahoe with that famous star of stage and screen, King Woodward. Thank you, Ray.
Wow. Are you nervous, Karen?
A little.
Well, here goes. Let's see now. Oh, yeah, the clue is Ethan Allen's men. Think it over.
Green Mountain Boys.
Karen, you've just won a gorgeous necklace. Oh.
Was that the necklace, Mr. LeDuc?
Of course it was. I thought Sorensen was bluffing.
Well, I could take Sorensen.
Oh, that can wait, Jesse. But the necklace can't. The Iceman expects delivery on Monday.
Yeah, but the girl's got it.
The girl and that actor. Jesse, go get Gwen. For her, a setup like this should be a breeze.
Stu, I absolutely refuse to go through with this.
King, I had to kiss a lot of feet to get you that spot on the show. Mm-hmm. Famous star of stage and screen. I wrote that copy. Friend, your career's on the ropes.
Well, I'll take the mandatory 8 count, thank you.
Look, King, be reasonable. The fan magazines will eat it up. They're sending a whole publicity crew along.
I'm not spending the weekend with that girl, no matter what.
You won't have to. Just be seen with her, that's all.
That's all?
A couple hours during the days. Now, don't worry, you'll be chaperoned.
By who? That jerk MC, Lee Bates?
No, by your jerk manager, Stu Greenfield.
You're coming along?
You got it.
Oh, terrific.
Open the window, would you, Jesse?
Yeah. Hey, it's real nice up here in Tahoe, you know, Gwen?
We're here on business, remember that.
Yeah, I ain't forgetting. Hey, come here. Isn't that them? Over by the lake?
I think so.
Who's the other guy?
It must be the manager. Ledoux told me about him. But Woodward's the one we can reach.
Woodward is supposed to be, you know, a real lady chaser.
Well, I plan to give that hunk of man something to chase. Mr. Woodward, I'm really embarrassed by this whole thing. I can understand that you don't really want to be here with me.
Hey, nonsense, Miss Harkness. King's just a little moody.
Well, I think I'll be moody back at the inn, if you don't mind.
Hello, King, stay.
No, that's all right.
Enjoy your walk.
Hey, remember the press party, 5 o'clock, in the lobby. That's a beautiful necklace you have.
Thank you, but somehow it's not right for me either. All of this, Mr. Greenfield... Do I have to go to the party?
Hey, now don't you be moody, too. Let's walk down to the boat dock. After that, we'll go back to the hotel and get dressed for the party. Now, what do you say?
Well?
In my business, that means yes. Come on.
What took you so long?
Dressed already?
Listen, I thought it over, Stu. I'm going over the state line and gamble.
No, you're not.
Well, yes, I am.
Our King, wait. Look, at least until after the party. Then you can jump in the lake as far as I'm concerned.
What's eating you?
The way you're treating that girl.
Hey, I thought you were the chaperone.
Hey, do yourself a favor and stick around. I'm getting a shower.
No, I'm not waiting around for this.
Hey, get that, would you?
Yeah.
Is this King Woodward, the actor?
Yeah, who are you?
Oh, let's just say that I'm an admirer of yours. I'd like to meet you in person.
When?
After the press party. A tall blonde wearing a red strapless gown will be standing at the base of the staircase. That will be me.
All right. I'm a gambling man.
Good. I've got a sporting proposition for you.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
I'll tell you when I see you.
What are the odds?
A tall blonde in a red strapless gown? King, honey, you can't lose.
Steve Desetnik, Chief Engineer, WCVB-TV.
If I were buying a TV color receiver today, it would be 100% solid state.
RCA asked these TV chief engineers a question you could be asking yourself. If you were buying a color TV, would you pick a tube type set or 100% solid state? Robert Porter, KMEX-TV.
I'd buy a 100% solid state set for the low maintenance, high reliability, and low power consumption.
In a nationwide survey, 95% of the TV chief engineers polled said they'd prefer to buy solid state for their next color TV. So if you've been asking yourself the question, you know what these experts say. Otis Freeman, New York.
I'd buy 100% solid state like the RCA XL100.
For color, for reliability, consider the new RCAs. Every one is an RCA XL100. 100% solid state. Don't settle for less.
Andrew Duncan here in Greece for your American Cancer Society, which presents Alan Arkin as Hippocrates, the father of medicine, alive and well at age 2400-something.
I stopped counting the year before the crusade.
You look great, sir.
Thank you. I could kiss your face.
Wonderful. In ancient times, what was the most important asset for a doctor?
He had to be very quick.
Ah, you mean he had to work very fast?
No, run fast. If a patient stays sick, you run quick.
Oh, I see. I mean,
wives chasing you with swords.
Wow, I guess there weren't many doctors.
No, mostly barbers.
Barbers?
Yeah, you bet. In the Middle Ages, you could get a shave, haircut, and tonsillectomy for a nickel.
Well, that's incredible. Well, what about brain surgery?
No, that would ruin the haircut.
Oh. Well, did barbers give annual checkups?
Wrong! Because they're running too fast.
I can understand. Well, the American Cancer Society has long promoted the importance of the regular checkup because early detection is everyone's best defense against cancer.
You said a mouthful, kiddie?
And give generously to your American Cancer Society. We want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
I've been waiting for it for 25 years.
King, is that you?
Go back to sleep, Stu.
No, I have to talk to you.
Where's your key to Karen's room?
What happened to you? Did you walk into a door?
Someone roughed me up.
Did you call a cop? I mean, a house detective or something?
No, I wanted to speak to you first. The guy said you were in on it.
The guy who hit you? Who was he?
I don't know, but I'd recognize that fist anywhere. Where have you been all night?
I jumped in the lake.
Don't be cute, friend. This is serious. What do you know about the pearl necklace Karen won on the show?
What do you know about it?
Somebody wants it, and they thought I had it.
Do you have it?
No. And you still haven't told me where you've been. You just vanished after the press party. We made the gossip columnists very happy. One of them told me you snuck off with a blonde.
Yeah, maybe you did. So what?
All right, what's so important in Karen's room that you have to get in there at this hour? The necklace?
What if it is?
Hey, look, King, I'll take a lot, but this is too much. Now, what do you know about the necklace?
All right, I was offered $10,000 for it. I mean, it looks like your deal wasn't as good.
Yeah, well, it looks like maybe you're not the grand prize after all.
Where are you going?
Come on, Your Highness. I had Karen bolt the door from the inside, but that may not have been enough.
I thought you said it was bolted.
Yeah, I thought it was. Turn on the light.
She's gone.
I was afraid of this.
The place is cleaned up. Maybe she packed up and left.
That I doubt.
Why didn't you stay in the room with her?
Why didn't you stick around like I asked you to? If anything's happened to that girl, King... we're finished.
Stu, I've never seen you like this.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
I guess the desk clerk's not here. Stu, what are you doing?
Just keep an eye out. Tell me if anyone's coming.
Okay, but...
Karen's key's not here, so she hasn't checked out. There's a note in our box.
What's it say?
Gentlemen, you have 24 hours for the contest. Leave the pearl necklace in the third hole on the pitch and putt golf course near the lake, and you win the girl. Don't ask the law for help, or you'll lose the game.
The girl won't talk.
Oh, you idiot. If you had waited, Woodward would have gotten us the pearls.
Yeah, but Gwen, the Iceman...
Never mind the Iceman.
Maybe the girl did lose the necklace, like she says.
And it's up to her friends to find it.
They got it, they tell you.
Doesn't look that way from here.
Huh?
Down there, by the lake. Yeah. Look for yourself.
How should I know where the necklace is? I mean, you were the one who's been with her.
Well, if they have her and she doesn't have it, who does?
Sue, if I knew, I'd tell you. I mean, she wore it all the time. Maybe it fell off at the press party.
Wait a minute. She didn't have it on last night.
She must have.
How would you know? You never looked at her. I'm telling you, she wasn't wearing it.
Why don't we just call the cops? I mean, let them handle it.
You know what the note said. Now, look, these people aren't fooling around. Now, what about the blonde? Did she say why she wanted the necklace?
I wasn't really listening.
Well, how to help you are.
What about the guy who punched you out?
He mumbled something about the wrong prize. Then he started punching me out.
The wrong prize? What does that mean?
I don't know. He said he couldn't wait for you to deliver, and then the lights went out.
Honest, Stu, I don't know what it's about. I mean, the blonde made me an offer. And we had a few drinks, and we fooled around a little, and that's it. Then I told her I'd get the necklace.
Now, Karen had it on when we were walking here yesterday. You stormed off. We took a walk and back to the hotel.
Where'd you walk to?
Down to the boat dock. She was depressed, thanks to you.
Listen, don't blame it on me. Hey, maybe it fell off.
Come on. This is the way we went. Keep your eyes open.
Hey, Gwen, they're going.
Quiet,
they're going.
I'm on the phone. Yes, Mr. LeDuc.
What do you mean you had to kidnap the girl?
But Jesse couldn't keep his hands to himself. He beat up the manager.
Oh, I'll tell Jesse. Oh, never mind. We got more trouble. Sorensen wasn't on the quiz show yesterday. I called. They said he's on vacation.
What?
So now we have to deliver that necklace. Gwen, I'm counting on you.
I'll get the necklace. You have my word.
Then we walked out here to the end. I remember I was watching the water skiers. Karen was brooding. She said something about feeling out of place. The whole thing was a mistake. You, the necklace. Oh, no.
What is it?
I thought it was a rock. It must have been the necklace. She threw it in the lake.
Hello, this is Hugh Downs with a Ford car buyer's report on a subject that car buyers are giving serious thought to. The real cost of owning a car, which Ford feels involves three considerations. What you pay for it, how much it costs to operate, and trade-in value. What about purchase price? Well, Ford believes that the 74 LTD offers car buyers who need and want the six-passenger comfort and quiet ride of a full-size car a real alternative to a big full-size car. The Ford LTD, up to 400 pounds lighter than some medium-priced full-size cars. The LTD is also sticker-priced up to $900 less. And you'll be pleasantly surprised at the luxury and driving peace of mind that the LTD offers. The 1974 LTD is the best-selling car in its price class, evidence that for many people, it's the best solution to owning a full-size car.
The well-made Ford. The closer you look, the better we look.
There was a time when you were counted, when you knew it really counted, when you had to stand up for the things you believed in. There was a time you gave all you got, because your country meant a lot. Be proud of what you were, be counted again. One man stands for truth and honor. He speaks for us all. Be counted again and stand up tall. You served your country. You answered the call.
How long do you think the press people are going to buy that story about Karen being sick?
Long enough for us to find a necklace, I hope.
We can't drag the lathe. We'll never find it.
Not that one.
You're not thinking about buying a fake, are you?
We can't sit on the shore and wait for the tide to come in.
I'll get it. Yeah?
Hello, handsome.
Hiya, Blondie. We got your message.
Tell her we have it.
I'm sorry about the change in plans.
We have the necklace.
You do? I saw you and your friend walk right by the golf course. Why didn't you drop it off then?
We didn't have it then.
But you do have it now.
Yes.
Leave it where we said. Midnight tonight. The girl will be returned once we have it.
Hey, these pearls look real to me. I hope it fools them.
The blonde may be a knockout, but she's no mental giant. And we know what room they're in.
What do you know?
There's only one room in the hotel with the vantage point she described. I double-checked. Come midnight, you drop off the fake pearls, and I'll be up in that room. I'll take my chances if there's just one of them there.
Who's that?
Greenfield, where's the necklace?
Sorensen?
The girl's not in her room. If I don't get it back, I'm a dead man.
Why does everyone want that necklace?
What do you mean, everyone? Is LeDuc here?
What, LeDuc, the jeweler?
Oh, jeweler. LeDuc's an international smuggler. I had it wired. With those pearls, I could have skipped the country and been set for life, but I blew it. Where's the girl?
She's around. Why?
Does she have the necklace?
Again, why?
All right, I'm in a spot. LeDuc owes somebody a lot of money, and that somebody expects that necklace as payment. I was the middleman. LeDuc wasn't paying me what I thought I was worth, so I threatened to give the pearls to somebody else.
Karen Harkness.
Right. I knew LeDuc would see the show on television and think I gave the girl the real thing. I meant to give her a fake, but I got them mixed up.
I'll say you did.
Look, I've changed my mind. I am going to deliver the real pearls if I can find them.
All right, what do you know about a big-knuckled gorilla and a sneaky blonde?
Jesse and Gwen. They work for LeDuc. Are they here in Tahoe?
Yeah, you bet they are. Underneath my dark glasses are two beautiful shiners.
Well, I'll make it worthwhile for both of you. But I've got to have that necklace. Give the girl these. She'll never know the difference.
Sorensen, I think we can do business.
Here's what I want you to do. All right, Sorensen, you know what to do. Put those fakes of yours into the third hole at midnight.
When do I get the real ones?
Just do like he says, announcer.
And meet us back at the room. We'll see you there.
You've been a wonderful guest. I admire your loyalty to your friends and theirs to you. It appears that you didn't lose the pearls after all. They have them and they're trading them for you. I know you're trying to express your gratitude. I'll pass along the message.
Hey, Gwen, it's time.
What are friends for?
They made the drop.
Good. Be ready to leave when I get back.
What about the girl?
Get her ready, too.
Yep.
She's gone. When do we go in?
Well, now's a good time.
Hey! What is that?
Hiya, Jesse.
Remember me? I think I owe you this.
Where'd you learn to hit like that?
He taught me. Come on, let's get Karen out of here.
You go. This is your seat.
Room service? There's Mr. Greenfield in the honeymoon suite. Send up champagne on ice. Thank you.
Stu, I like Hawaii much better than Lake Tahoe.
I like your wedding ring much better than pearls.
This is the first good thing that's happened to me since I won the grand prize.
Is that a compliment?
Poor Mr. Sorensen. He wasn't like the others, but they all went to jail.
All but Vincent LeDuc. He delivered the wrong merchandise to his connection. A mistake he didn't live to regret.
I'd rather not talk about the past.
Oh, well, how about the future?
Oh, look at the time.
Karen, not the television.
Shh.
Your number is 11 across. That's 9 letters with only 2 filled in so far. King Woodworth, would you tell us what Marcia will win if she can fill in the blanks?
Look, there's King.
Lee, if Marcia can do it, she'll be going to a luau. 2 weeks, all expenses paid in the island paradise.
No.
Yes, beautiful Hawaii.
It's my fault I got him Sorensen's job.
King looks so happy.
Now, what about me?
You'll be happy, too.
And you?
I'm the happiest one of all. I've got you, and I've still got these.
Well, those are pearls I bought in Tahoe. A memento of our courtship?
No, I left those on the mainland.
You what?
One thing you should know about your bride, Stuart Greenfield. She never throws anything away.
Look, you don't have to sell me on them. I know all about them.
Oh? You know everything about these Ford pickups I'm selling?
Sure. I know about Ford's twin I-beam front suspension.
Uh-huh.
I know you get front disc brakes standard.
But do you know we give you a choice of an economical 6 or one of 3 V8s?
Sure.
You know about Ford's all-new Supercab? The only 2-door pickup with the extra room for a full back seat?
Supercab?
Ford's Supercab pickup. It seats a family of 6 in sedan-like comfort.
I didn't know that.
Or did you know that Supercab's optional full-width rear seat folds flat to make a load floor?
Yeah?
Or that you can get optional facing jump seats that fold out of the way? Or with no rear seat at all, you get a full 44 cubic feet of extra storage space?
I didn't know that either.
That's it. Ford's new Supercab. And like all Ford pickups, it works like a truck, rides like a car.
That I knew.
Ford's new Supercab. It's news even to people who thought they knew all about Ford pickups. See it now at your local Ford dealer.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes, exercise your imagination, and join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
The Grand Prize is an original radio drama written by Sue Dunham. Marty Markham was heard as Stu Greenfield. Featured in the cast were Keith Walker, Jenny Tyler, Jane Webb, Don Messick, and Dawes Butler. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Coates, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood. Mutual Broadcasting System, a Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman. Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. If you want to find more from Texas Rangers, The Zero Hour, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button, all can be found at RelicRadio.com. Your donations make this and all of the shows possible. Thanks to those who have donated, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.